Good morning. We are glad to be able to get together, even if it's in this unique way. I was just talking to one of my sons, my oldest son, and he was telling me he deals with business people all across the country. He was just saying about the anxiety over the unknown that senses from those he works with. And then a little bit later, I was looking on the weather network, and there was this, they caught this picture of this poor deer, and he's standing on ice, on an ice floe going down the river at a rather rapid pace. I don't know what happened to the deer, but that may be the way some of you feel. We're in a situation, we're not sure how long it's going to last, and we're not sure how it's going to end. But with the Lord, we can have confidence that He is with us, He is for us, and He will take care of us. So let's just ask Him to guide us as we continue to ponder some thoughts on hope. And obviously we need hope during this time and throughout our life. So let's ask God to help us. Father, we do thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for the kindness that you express toward us, even in a broken world. We know that when we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we can have confidence knowing that we're loved and we're cared about, and we have an amazing future ahead of us. So we just ask you to guide our thoughts right now, that it would help us, it would strengthen our faith, it will give us a steadfast faith in the midst of a world that is shaking, uncertain, and obviously overrun by anxiety in many corners and in many hearts. So guide us, direct us. May you use my words to accomplish your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. She was a young lady of 23 at the time this happened. It was 2011. It was December, and she and a friend of hers were just getting off a little single-engine plane. And apparently they had been flying over a community known as McKinney, Texas, flying over looking at the December Christmas lights. So obviously, you know, it would have been something, I'm sure it was beautiful and fun and something that, you know, it would be so, oh, this is, hopefully we can do this again sometime. She stepped off the plane. And as she was, I'm sure, laughing and talking and not paying attention, she walked inadvertently into the propeller that was still spinning. It was tragic. It, as the article revealed, the blade sliced the left side of her face, including her eye and cranial nerve, and severed her left hand. The doctor who cared for her at that point said she's going to be in the hospital for quite some time, and it is a terrible injury. Now, our heart goes out to a young woman like this. She was only 23 at that time. A model. Can you imagine her future? You would think it just all came to a halt on that moment. How do we cope with tragedy? Well, obviously we need hope in the midst of the broken seasons of life. One has stated, hope isn't merely a nice option that helps us temporarily clear a hurdle. It's an essential to our survival. Yet many do not have hope. And we've talked about that. You know, as the passage that we have referred to in the past, Ephesians 2:12, those who are separate from Christ, having no hope without God in the world. I remember reading an article of a young woman. She was a famous singer, in fact, and had an amazing voice, lots of fame, a real following. And one night in her mansion, she had a real wild party. And at the age of 27, she died of alcohol poisoning. Now you think with a voice like she had, the fame that she had, why would you kill yourself by alcohol poisoning? Where was the hope? Well, so many people in our world just do not have hope, even though they might have fame. And we've also talked about those who have false hope. It's so easy if a person, maybe let's say, gets a great job, which we're happy for them, right? And maybe they make a lot of money. But you know what? Those jobs and that money can be gone in a moment. False hope. What we need is genuine hope. We need the real deal. And we've defined hope as that confident expectation that God has something great ahead for his kids, for those who have put their faith in Christ, who have trusted Christ to be their personal Savior. If you've done that, oh, and we so hope you have, we desire that you put your faith in Christ. If that's the case, you have reason for great hope, great expectation that God has something great ahead for all of those who are his children. And of course, God is the object of real hope. Psalm 62, David stated, "My soul wait in silence for God only." Why? "For my hope is from him." My hope is from him. He's the object of true hope, of genuine hope. Because, and we've said this, but just to restate it, because he loves us. His love that will not let us go, will not fail us. Lamentations 3:21 says, "I still dare to hope when I remember this. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends." It never ends for his kids. That unfailing love. And then we also highlighted the fact we have our hope in God because he loves us and his awesome power toward us. It says, nothing is too difficult for him. In Jeremiah 32, nothing. He has the power to pull off his promises and fulfill our hope. And of course, we only really know his promises and the basis for hope as we understand his word. We gain hope through the word. In his word, it says in Psalms 130, do I hope? You see, God's word teaches us God's truth, God's promises about our future. And as we glean that truth, we grow in our hope. Our hope is something awesome and wonderful. And of course, when we think of the things we're looking forward to, our salvation, that's a very broad term, but it ultimately looks at what is ahead for us, the final salvation, the ultimate salvation. And part of that will be our inheritance that we'll enjoy in heaven, our home in heaven. And obviously, we won't be there in a broken body, in a worn-out body. We'll have new bodies, resurrected bodies like Christ, and we'll be present with the Lord. And Paul says of that, there's nothing better than to be with Christ. Nothing in this world compares with what is ahead for the believer. It is absolutely awesome. But in the midst of the difficulties of life, we can lose sight of our hope. There's adversaries, enemies to our hope. As we have quoted the book of Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations, he says in chapter 3, verse 18, "My strength has perished, and so has my hope." You see, it was a terrible time. And Jeremiah was lamenting the terrible destruction of Jerusalem and loss of life and all of the grievous things that had occurred. And he had the front seat of all the terrible things. And he lost hope for a moment. You know, there's many times in life where we're tempted to lose hope. There's a story told. The reality of it is written for us in Acts 27. Paul was on a boat, on a ship, and a terrible storm came up. And it says in Acts 27, verse 18 of that storm, it was violent battering from the storm. The ship had a violent battering. It was just totally destructive. And in verse 20 it says, the terrible storm raged unabated for many days. And sometimes, you know, that's what wears us out, right? It's not one bad day, it's many days. And it says, blotting out the sun and the stars, the storm and the clouds were so horrendous that they couldn't even see the stars or the sun until at last, it says, all hope was gone. All hope. Now, maybe you're there. Maybe it's just lasted so long. Maybe the pain has just been unrelenting and it will not subside. And you're beginning to lose hope. You know, adversity tempts us to give up. How should we respond? Well, you know what? David asked this, or the psalmist asked this question in Psalm 42:5. We read these words. It says, why are you in despair, O my soul? So, you know, ask that honest question. Why am I in despair on this point? And then he challenges himself, hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. You know what? Revive your hope by remembering the help of God's presence. This should encourage us in the midst of the storm. God is with us to help us. Now, deliverance from adversity may come in time. It may come within a couple of weeks or a month or a year. Or deliverance, in some cases, will only come when we step into eternity. But then it will be awesome, overwhelming, no more tears, no more pain. But we need to be reminded that in the midst of adversity, to run back to the Lord and renew our hope. We need a steadfast hope, a hope that will not give up, even in the midst of the most difficult situations. Now, it was really difficult for the Christians in Thessalonica. Paul was writing to them, and he said to these dear Christians, because they were Christians, they were suffering severely. You know, I think of our present day situations around the world where some Christians are suffering severely. I was reading this article produced by the Persecuted Church, and this is relating to some Christians in Nigeria. And as I've said in the past, I have some dear friends that moved to Canada from Nigeria, so I have a special place in my heart for Nigeria. This article stated, human rights organizations monitoring the ongoing violence taking place against Christians in Nigeria are now raising concerns of an imminent genocide. More than 50 believers have been killed in the month of March, and over a dozen more during the first week of April. Since the beginning of 2020, at least 410 Christians have been murdered. Can you imagine? Heartbreak. The article goes on. In one incident, The predominantly Christian village, a predominantly Christian village, had its eighth attack in 3 years on March the 31st. According to one witness, the militants entered the village during the night and began shooting and burning houses. Three victims were slain in that attack. One Christian man stated, "We are in great distress. Great distress. I can't imagine." You know what? Christians throughout time, at times, have been in great distress. And we don't want to minimize that. We weep with those who weep. But yet, in the midst of disaster, God holds for us hope. And that's what the Thessalonians had. Because the passage goes on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul commends them. He says, "Giving thanks to God always for all of you, those who are suffering severely, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor of love," and listen to this, "steadfastness of hope." Steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need, to be steadfast in our hope, even in the midst of the most difficult situations, because of the Lord Jesus. Not because we're strong or we've got it all figured out or we know it's always going to be smooth, it's going to smooth out. We don't know that. But we know that there is hope in Him, in the Lord Jesus, and we need to hold on to that. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4:10, "We have fixed our hope on the living God." We've fixed our hope on the living God. Where's your hope at? You see, if it's like, oh, if I can just, you know, get through this week, or if I can just, you know, get some more money, or if I can just get over this illness. You know what? Our hope needs to be in the Lord, no matter what the week holds. Fixing our hope on Him. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, "Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We fix our hope. We fix our hope on the Lord Jesus because He's coming for us, and His grace, He's coming for us. We look forward to that revelation of Him as He comes for us, His return. And we need to stay focused that He is coming. He is coming, looking forward with great expectation, with great joy because of the hope that is ours. How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, I think there's several practical things that can help us have a steadfast hope. One is prayer. Now, I know that seems simple, but it's so important. David gives us an example in Psalm 38. And he was in a very difficult situation, for there were those that were seeking his life. I mean, to wipe it out. They wanted to kill David. And David says this in verse 15 of Psalm 38. "I hope in you, O Lord, you will answer." You will answer what? His prayer. "So you will answer, O Lord my God." You will answer. You know, I have at home a set of praying hands. It's on a little stand, and you've probably seen a painting or something of praying hands. And as they have these statues, and this one little thing I have at home, I noticed that the hands are really wrinkled. they look like they've been really worn. You know, a lot of times people, their life is worn. Their hands are worn. They're just wiped out. But, you know, we can turn to the Lord in prayer. No matter what our situation, we need to have continual communion with Him. Continual communion. God, as we begin the day, as we go through the day, as we end the day, staying in tune with Him. Communion with Him. He's our source of hope. Also, obviously, one thing that we need to make sure in staying in communion with the Lord, staying in touch with Him, is to confess any sin that would hinder our fellowship with the Lord. Now, in that same Psalm 38, David says, I confess my iniquity. I am full of anxiety because of my sin. You know, unconfessed sin hinders our fellowship with the Lord and cripples our hope in the Lord. So, you know, as we're going through life, as we're going through a day, you know, if there's a sinful thought or a sinful word or a sinful act, we need to quickly confess. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. We need to do that so that we will have close fellowship with the Lord for a variety of reasons. But the one we're focused on right now is to regain and retain our hope, to have a steadfast hope. And then obviously it is so critical in order to maintain hope is to stay in the Word that tells us what God has promised us. Because the Word is where we find our hope. It's laid down in God's printed Word. In Psalm 119, in verse 49, it says, the Word in which you have made me hope. The Word. It's just like, if we want to know God's promises, we got to go to God's book to know what he said is, so that we can cling to it, we can hold on to it, treasure it, and enhance our hope because we're reminded of what's ahead. Making time for God's Word. You know, the world is not a friendly place to make time for God's Word. Satan's going to do everything he can to distract you. Just the situations of the world will distract us, but we need to make time to spend time with God through his book. And I would just encourage you, as we think of his word, what are some promises that you're holding on to right now? Some of those things that give you that great expectation, that enhance your expectation, that give you steadfast hope. You know, in Hebrews 6, and again, I'm just referring to a part of this passage. In Hebrews 6:18, take hold of the hope set before you. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, an anchor of the soul. I appreciate what William MacDonald wrote about this in his commentary. He says, in the storms and trials of life, this hope serves as an anchor of the soul, the knowledge that our glorification is as certain as if it had already happened, keeps us from drifting on the wild waves of doubt and despair. Let me ask you, what passages in this book are you running to when the days are dark? What are you holding on to have that solid hope? You know, there's so many wonderful passages, and we're all different, and we're all at different situations, and there are going to be different passages that comfort us in one season and other passages that comfort us in another. You know, let's just take for an example, John 14, verse 3. The Lord Jesus said, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Maybe you need that in encouragement, that the Lord Jesus, he's coming for us. And that might, you know, sometimes I've said to people, they're different individuals, and sometimes they feel like, oh man, I can't memorize anything. And that's all right. Don't worry about memorizing all, you know, a whole section. Memorize a phrase. If I go, I will come again and receive you to myself. Maybe just hang on to that today, right? Just hold on to that. He's coming for me. We think of Romans 8:28, and we've talked about that, but that is so important in going through life. And he says this, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. And the little phrase that jumped out at me this week was all things. God causes all things to work together. Isn't that encouraging? Just think, that means the hard things as well as the nice things, you know, the ones that we want. God causes all things. So, and he's using these things to transform us as the passage goes on, but all things to work together for good for those who love God. If you trusted Christ, God is working everything out. Not that everything is what you want it to be, but he's working it out for your good ultimately. And maybe that's the verse you need to just hold on to, rejoice in. Think of this passage. This is in 1 Peter 1, and we've dealt with this in the context of born again to a living hope. But I was thinking of this phrase in verse 4 of 1 Peter 1. An inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that great? Just think about that. God has reserved something for you. It's waiting for you. And it will never fade and it will never perish. It will not defile. You know, it's like I was, have you ever had something in your fridge and you forgot that it was there. And then you're looking through the fridge and you think, oh man. And the other day I was looking for an apple, and there we had some apples that were sitting in there for a time. And I pulled one out. Oh man, this is so gross. It was rotten, right? It was defiled. You know what? What God has for us in heaven will not rot. It will not be defiled. It's waiting for us, and it's great. It's awesome. It's part of our hope. Now, one of the things I think, not only do we need to hold on to a steadfast hope, but one thing that helps us as we cling to the Word, not to be surprised by trials. You know, there are some people that teach, you know, if you're a Christian, you know, doing everything right, life's going to be smooth. You know that's not the case. I mean, as we honor the Lord in our lives, things do go better oftentimes. But it doesn't mean we're exempt from all the trials of life. As Paul says in Romans 5, we exalt in our tribulations. They're coming. They will come. There will be times of trouble and trial and frustration and disappointment and sadness. But you don't be caught off guard. God will use those things in our life, those all things. He used those. So don't be blown away by the surprises of disappointment or pain. It's part of this world. But we don't have to lose our hope, because we know we got something that's going to far exceed, be far more wonderful, and it won't even compare with what we're going through on those difficult times. There was a young man who almost died from a severe fire where he was terribly burned. And for months and months and months, he was in the hospital. He had multiple skin grafts. But you know, he had hope, because the doctors had told him. The doctor said to this young man, "You will recover. You will recover." You know what? Whatever you're going through, however long it seems, God is something great. And we will make it. And the Christian is going to make it big. It's wonderful. So don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. You know, how do we do it how do we hold on to this hope when it's just, things are really dark? Think of that poor situation and those terrible losses that were suffered by the Nigerians and some who even lost their life. How would you continue to have hope in the midst of that disaster? Well, you know what? Ultimately, we don't have the power to have it, you know, to grip onto hope like we need to hold onto that anchor of hope. And that's where this passage is so important, the power of hope. This is in Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope. Notice this. You will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, as we go through life, we're weak. We're inadequate. We a lot of times don't stay focused. But how can we have steadfast hope? You know what? We can have steadfast hope when we depend on the Spirit of God to empower us in our hope. You know, when we look to the Word, we just allow the Spirit of God to build us up. When we're going through a hard day, or maybe you're in the hospital, or maybe you've lost a loved one, you know, we say, God, I can't do this. But in your spirit, I can go through this. In God's spirit, we can have hope. He'll take God's word and he'll impress it into our hearts and he'll increase our hope. May we walk by the Spirit, depending on his power. Now, as we conclude, I'd just like to think of two results of hope. One of them is kind of obvious. But you know what? As we grow in hope, we will grow in perseverance because we're able to get through the dark times. We're able to keep on keeping on even when it's hard. Perseverance. Hope gives us perseverance. In Romans 8:25, if we hope for what we do not see, looking, that great expectation is not here yet, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Staying steady, hanging in there, not giving up, not dropping out, keeping on. For the Lord, through the Lord, because we have hope from the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. There was a story of a little guy, and he was born with some serious birth defects. He had several very critical surgeries, and they had to amputate his right foot and his left leg. You think, oh, just for a little guy, right? Just breaks your heart. But you know, his mom was working with him, and his parents obviously trying to help him and trying to help him learn to walk with these very, very strong limitations. And the little guy, you could tell he was being encouraged by his parents. And he was making a few steps, and he said, I got it, I got it. he made those steps. He was so encouraged. You know, his mom, apparently a Christian, she said, we celebrate his life. Every step he takes will be to the glory of God. You know what? They were teaching the little boy that he can go forward even though he has these very difficult situations. You know what? We can make it even if we have very difficult situations. God gives us perseverance. We look into his word. We lean upon the power of the Lord. And you know, there's another one that we may forget. Another benefit. And that is, Romans 12:12 says this, rejoicing in hope. You know what? Hope gives us joy. If we're really clinging to hope, we'll have joy because we know we got something great. 1 Peter, again, I've referred to this many times, but remember we talked about a living hope. In that same context, it says in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Joy inexpressible. Hope gives joy. Remember back to the young lady who was the model that was injured in the propeller accident. Apparently a Christian. Her mother said, as she was reflecting on her daughter and the accident, she said of her daughter that her daughter had been talking lately about joy. And then the same young lady went on to say this, this isn't what I would have chosen, but God knows what he's doing. You see, life can be hard, and many times it will be. But we can have joy if we have hope. Hope in Christ brings joy from Christ. Steadfast hope gives us a solid anchor. in the storms of life. I don't know what you're going through, but I know a lot of people are going through hard things. And remember the picture of that deer that I saw floating down the water on that ice? You know, the deer didn't know where he was going. You know, we don't know really where we're going in the sense of day to day. You know, what's happening this month? What's going to happen this year? You know, we're drifting along, and you know, we can lose hope. But you know what? As we look to the Lord, we look in the Word, and we allow the Spirit of God to empower us. We keep our focus. We fix our focus. It gives us an anchor for our souls because we have hope in the Lord. Steadfast hope gives us a solid anchor in the storms of life. May that be true for each one of us. Let me pray for you and myself. God, I just want to entrust each one that's listening. I just entrust them to your perfect, loving care. And my prayer for all of us is that we will have a steadfast hope as we look to your word. We depend on the Spirit of God. May our hope, may we have that anchor of our soul because we have hope in you. I pray that for each one. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.